Hey there, welcome to Broadcast to Post. I'm Jeff Sengpiel, CTO at Keycode Media. This is the show where we interview leaders and experts in the AV, broadcast, and post-production spaces. We're giving you the inside tips to grow your media workflows and business today. If you haven't noticed already, we are living in extraordinarily unique times. Record inflation, businesses adapting to employees working from home, the shift from hardware to subscription and cloud. But with massive disruption comes opportunity. So to help define the issues and provide solutions, we thought we would sit down with our very own president of Keycode Media, Mike Cavanaugh. For over 30 years, Mike has been a go-to resource for businesses building out their business and media strategy. Mike, thanks for joining.
Thank you. It's great to be here at Keycode Media today.
Let's jump right into it. As the health and safety situation has evolved, what impacts are you seeing with media companies deciding on staffing, hybrid work, and if there's a push for back to the office?
It first starts really with employees that are vaccinated or unvaccinated. A lot of government, education, and larger corporations that will not allow unvaccinated employees on premise. In the beginning, there was a lot of stress about people working together, who was vaccinated, who wasn't. And it really came down to, I think everybody started to realize once they were vaccinated, they were relatively safe from catastrophic COVID issues. And everyone sort of got the point of those that are not vaccinated are on their own. We did an internal survey within Keycode Media, and only 13% of the company work preference was to come back to the office full time. 26% said they'd like to work from home for the rest of their career, and the other 60% would like to be hybrid. Now, the issues with hybrid really come down is what does that mean and how do you really impact the culture? The interesting aspect about that 13% returning was a large major studio very nearby us did the exact survey, and they had the exact 13% want to come back for work. And the fear now is they wanted to push people back into work, but one of their larger competitive studios is not forcing people back to work. And so it's become a really big issue. At Keycode Media, I effectively did a Jack Dorsey, and last summer said, if your job doesn't require you being in the office, you don't have to come back to work. But it is a very challenging issue, and we're now looking at office capacity. We have a building that was built for 50 people, now has 6 to 10 people. Everybody else is remote. The good news is they're getting their job done.
All right, so how do you see M&E employers addressing the great resignation and what has really now become a labor supply chain problem? So strategies, methods, what do you see as the best way to retain and recruit staff?
I really see two aspects about retention and recruitment. One is have a compelling business, have a compelling career. Build opportunity, build growth, build education. Be a meaningful employer that really cares about driving your employees to greatness, recognizing there may be a point where they leave because they've become so well-trained you can no longer afford them. But that's a risk that I'm willing to take at Keycode Media. The other aspect is the concept of flexibility. And I was talking with one of our accounting staff within Keycode Media. The comment the staffer made to me was, when I work at home, I start dinner at 6:01. When I work at Keycode Media, I start dinner at 6:46 and I'm tired from the commute. My life has increased by 90 minutes a day of having greater flexibility to be a better person. And I said, aha, if we can get the work done remotely, which we can and we have, and it's proven to be the case as we're growing, why not allow for a better work-life flexible arrangement for people to be successful and stress more about getting the job done, the levels of the job, and committing to the person to make them more effective.
Makes sense. So film and TV production and post have invested heavily in the last 2 years to enable remote production and post workflows. What stage do you see those remote workflows in today?
Stage one, before we start, was just utter panic. How long will we be out? We all thought we'd be back in the office in 2 weeks, and that's now turned into 2 years. So stage one, once people recognize that the show had to go on, or at least post-production had to go on, and live production had to go on, was how do we now connect people remotely in a safe environment and allow for production to continue? What we ended up doing was we focused on a couple different areas. One was the ability from post-production, and we pretty much rallied around HP zCentral Remote Boost, allowing our clients to log in remotely to their existing topology and operate. But now that it's become a longer-term status of being away from the office, they want more of a editorial bay. They want to have more tracks of audio, have a producer monitor, have more flexibility and greater tools to be able to cut the content they're working on. So people are now looking at much more advanced solutions such as Nexus Edge, or StorageDNA has a remote synchronization, as does Storage Network Solutions, and Facilis has a product also. So it's really become now a matter of what are you working on, how are you trying to work on it, and what's the workflow that you need, as well as issues of now synchronization to the cloud, having proxy there, or a full cloud workflow where everything stays there. And on the production side, we've done the same. We've done a lot of live view connections. We've done integration with Zoom and Teams, going through a TriCaster, enabling people to be on television at any time, anywhere. And that's, I think, transformed how knowledge, communication, and information is being broadcast and OTT out throughout the world.
And we also saw last week people who still are in 2022 building out net new remote post-production facilities. The good thing about the fun thing about Hollywood is it's slow to change. So there was a rapid change that forced us to go remote, and now there's not going to be that same rapid change forcing us back. So a lot of times the show will sit there and wait till the next season to go into the next iteration of what their workflow is going to be.
Good point.
Mike, so quite a few of KeyCode Media's vendors are shifting their business models from perpetual licenses with service agreements to full yearly subscription models. What are your thoughts on this change, and what's going to be the impact that KeyCode Media clients are going to need to be aware of?
First off, I'm a believer in owning, and I think the economics of ownership over longer-term predictable levels of business make more sense. That being said, the vendors are changing their business model pure and simple for profits. It costs more to subscribe, and it's greater ability to predict earnings and know how much you're going to make every year. So from that perspective, it started 10 years ago where Adobe went to a full software as a service workflow for their Adobe Creative Suite. Instead of upgrading every 18 months, you ended up getting incremental upgrades throughout time because you are now subscribed and on the platform. So the aspects about that is, though, if you have a project stop but you want to continue working and editing and your subscription is getting close to coming up, you may stop your subscription, you will be unable to edit. Avid, which is one of our primary vendors, also has been moving very aggressively to the subscription model. And they've done it by raising the prices of the perpetual support agreement to be the same cost as a subscription. And with the subscription, they've added greater features such as Script Sync, Symphony, Phrase Find. So they're adding value to the component, but really driving for the clients to move to a subscription business model. That's happening with other vendors, Telestream, EditShare, Quantum. They're all moving towards subscription. They're moving for a reason of having greater predictable earnings. As an end user, though, it's really a matter of, do you have that Spotify subscription and you're not listening to music? So it's a matter of really keeping track of the count of users. Who's tracking that information for you? When are your renewals done? How do you budget for that? And how do you move forward from a business perspective? I would say some of our vendors that have moved to subscription are at risk now because clients would continue to pay the maintenance every year, but now that it's a larger number and it's a much more transactional yearly subscription, they're starting to have those inflection points of, do I need to continue with this product? And it's easier, the barriers to switching have gone down.
Perfectly logical. So storage and cloud vendors are actively advertising ransomware solutions, cloud backup, and business continuity. How should our clients here at KeyCode Media consider these risks for their enterprises?
the first thing to think about is, what are the economic consequences to your business if this happens to you? The second thing to think about is, what's the risk of that happening? And as we know, bots are automated. They're just pinging servers trying to hit people. They've gotten very sophisticated with emails, fake websites, links. So the reality is, the probabilities of getting hacked to some extent are much higher than they've ever been. The question now is, what are insurance costs that make sense for your business to protect yourself? And there's more issues than just getting hacked and having the data encrypted where you can't use it. So you have to look at business continuity. If you're a post-production house where you don't own your content, what becomes critical is, if you are hacked and you can't continue getting your work done, that puts your reputation at risk. It puts your ability to deliver, you know, the deliverables, the finished media at risk, and it can impact your business relationship. And that happened with Larson Sound a couple years ago when the dark overlord encrypted all their data. And Jill Larson said very succinctly, they had around 6 hours to answer them whether they'd pay the ransom. And it's written up in Variety, and it was a big first push into the world of, this is an issue we need to be concerned about. So I always look at, what are the risks, what are the costs, what's the impact to your business? The concept isn't just, how do you protect yourself? And, you know, it's how do you train your employees on best business practices, not to click on links, not to compromise your network, having the appropriate systems to do backup, to do checks, do training to the employee base, which we've done at KeyCode Media, on how to enable yourselves to be as protected as possible. Then in addition, what's your backup strategy? And, you know, the long concept is really 3-2-1. Keep 3 copies complete of your information. 2 copies should be on varied media. 1 copy should be stored off-site. And then you need to think about where those copies are, whether they're in the cloud or on LTO or on disk or off-premise, is how long will the restore take? And how long will it even validate that you can restore that content, and is it accurate? And these are all things that hadn't traditionally been an issue, because your backup was your 3/4 inch, your VHS, your DigiBeta, your HD cam. That was your backup in the old days. Now the backups are all digital, and it's much easier to be encrypted and in ransomware. So the concept of having 3-2-1 and being able to know how fast can you restore what you've backed up. Because if you can't find it quickly and you can't get it back up and running quickly, your business is at risk of being able to finish the project in time. So look at LTO, look at products that do very quick restores that understand the metadata and allow you to relink quickly and be able to check, is my backup valid and can I get up and running quickly? That's my recommendation.
So let's get into electronic components and the supply chain. They've all been hit hard with shortages and supply chain issues, with transport issues overseas. How is KeyCode addressing the long and extending lead times for our clients?
Supply chain has become our new MacGyver exercise. Every single order potentially can have shortages that would enable the full solution not to be set. One component, and it all comes based on the chips, based on the system. So we have a switch manufacturer that I talked to. It's one popular one within the media arena. The lead time, Jeff, is April 2023. Why are they still in business right now? I don't know. Why is it April 2023? I don't think they know. It may be sooner, it may be later. We had an instance with a large projector order we had for a client building a screening room, and they bought the projector from us in January, and we were expecting delivery in April. We get an email last week, oh, we now can't deliver to the end of June or maybe July. Well, the client has to be up and running in June. So these curveballs happen. Clients ask us, how long will it take? And we are like, we want to make it soon, and we're going to drive to have that happen. And most importantly, we've created on our cloud ERP, item by item, status of delivery that's accessible to everybody in the company. And we're in the process of building that out through our portal that our clients can also see that from a transparency level, because it's really critical for me, for us to enable our clients to understand what the situation is, what the alternatives are, how can they make the best decision for their business to have the best opportunities for profit and getting their projects done successfully. It's a real significant problem. We're all sitting back trying to say, when can we get it? Is it really 6 months? What are the alternatives? And one of the issues I really look at is, how can you repurpose your existing technology, leveraging software upgrades, leveraging new workflows? And with respect to that supply chain, we're dealing also with labor. And one of the key things that I've really been preaching within KeyCode Media and to our clients is, how can we have greater efficiencies on technology? Anything that can automate and take lower level work away to have your people do higher level human interaction on driving your business, invest in it today. It's payback, it's ROI, doesn't make sense. But the issues of the supply chain are very simple. If you're going to need it, buy it sooner rather than later. If you have questions about what you're trying to do based on your budgets and the trajectory of usage of product, talk to us. We'll give you candid, honest, and informative information to help you determine, is that available? And we'll also help you determine what other alternatives and options do you have to build that technology workflow with media that you may not have right now said you want, because you wanted and you built your entire studio, your entire campus on one particular technology. But right now the word is, am I flexible? Can I compromise? What am I giving up? Is it worth it?
So prices are increasing. They're driven by inflation, wage pressures, the war in Europe, and supply chain. What are your thoughts on how clients are going to be able to address these changing economics?
I always really try to pull it back and look at the Excel spreadsheet. Price, performance. What is the return on investment that you're going to make? What's the payback on the equipment you have? In general, 5 to 15% increase is significant. And we're looking at all aspects of our costs are going up, from travel with gas and airplanes to, you know, wages for the entire team to prices at the store that everybody's paying more. On a business perspective, can you make your money back in 15 months? If you can, it's still a good investment. It sucks to have to pay more money, but it's still a good investment. Focus on the fundamentals of what makes sense for your organization, even though it's more expensive. And from that perspective, automate, automate, automate. Anything you can do today to make you more effective and efficient, invest in it, especially while the rates are low, because the rates are going up. They will go up next month, they'll go up the month after, and using your money and tying it down to a lower level rate of return for your investment will allow you to be more productive tomorrow. So take a hard look at the technologies you have in your business. Take a hard look at where you have labor inefficiencies. If you need help, give us a call. We'd be more than happy to help you. But there are key inefficiencies that exist in every single business, and there's ways to make that automated and make that payoff make sense for your organization.
Mike, thanks for joining us today. It's great to sit down and actually talk about these sorts of things. We normally get into products, we get into services, but these are core issues that people need to know in order to make their business run effectively. So thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for watching Broadcast to Post. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes. Follow KeyCode Media on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to receive news on additional AV, broadcast, and post-production technology content. See you next time, folks.